All right, Revelation chapter number 8. Revelation chapter number 8. Many of you have asked where my dad is, and he's preaching in Campbell, Missouri for Brother Tony Wood tonight. And that's where he's at. I told him I didn't mind him doing that, as long as he brings the offering he receives into the storehouse, you understand. Revelation chapter number 8, and we'll look here hopefully at chapter number 8, or all of chapter number 8. And if you notice verse number 1, and then I'll stop and comment about a few things. Verse number 1, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." Now that means there won't be any women in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come into this place and laugh. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the words we need to say. And Lord, help us through all of this, these end time events that everybody seems to be curious of in these days we live. I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I was just joking about that. But if you'll look at chapter number 6, you start in verse 1, the first seal. And you go through six seals. And then chapter number 7 is a what they call a parenthetical, which is a parenthesis, which is more added information into the first six seals. And then in chapter number 8, you have the seventh seal. And the seventh seal, when it opens up the seven trumpets. So when you open up the seventh seal, it's like opening up the seven trumpets, and we go all the way back to the center, or the middle of the tribulation, and go through the tribulation again. You remember I told you that the book of the Revelation, you'll go through the tribulation four different times. Now, for a better illustration of that, if you remember, if you've ever been to a circus, you have a three-ring circus, and there's things going on in all three rings, and you sort of just have to watch and see which one you want to watch. Well, the book of the Revelation is like that. It's actually a four-ring circus. There's things going on at the same time in all four rings, but John cannot write about all four rings at the same time. So he'll write about what's going on over here, and then he'll come back and write about what's going on here, and then here, and then here, four different times. I'll give you a for instance. Look at chapter 6 and verse 12. Look at 6 and 12. 6 and 12 is the sixth seal. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great," what? "Earthquake." Well, look at chapter number 11 and verse 13. Here's the end of the trumpets. 11, verse 13. "The same hour there was a great" what? All right, let's go to 16, chapter 16, and verse number 18. This is at the end of the vows. Verse number 18, "And there was voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great" what? You have to understand there are things going on at the same time. And all you're doing, you're going through it once, you're turning around, going back through again, and you've got a four-ring circus going on, and those things are going on at the same time, and that's the only way that you can keep up with it. When you start in chapter number 8, you start the seven trumpets. Actually, it opens up the seventh seal, and then it opens up the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet, when it opens at the end of these trumpets here, will open up the seven vials, or some people call them the bowls, the bowl judgments or the vials or whatever. And so what you're going to see, let's look at verse number 2. "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Well, here's what you'll have. You'll notice here in the wording of chapter number 8, you'll see an altar. Chapter number 6, you saw a throne. There is a throne. There is an altar up there. There is an incense altar up there. All of these different things is a picture of what's going on in heaven. In heaven, there is a heavenly tabernacle. There was an earthly tabernacle in the wilderness in the book of Exodus. And God says in the book of Hebrews, He says to prepare the earthly tabernacle just like the one that's patterned in heaven. And so what you'll find is there are three different tabernacles. You have an earthly tabernacle. This was what was in the wilderness that Moses had. You had one door. You had a brazen altar. Then you had a brazen laver. And then you went into the holy place. And there was three pieces of furniture in here. There was a table of showbread. There was a candlestick. And then there was an altar of incense. What we just read in chapter number 8. And then you go into that one thing. And there's the Ark of the Covenant. The most holy place. Well, in heaven is the same thing. When you get into heaven, there is one door. It's the sea of glass. There's an altar, a sacrificial altar. There is the sea, here's the sea of glass right here. The sea of glass is right before you get over into the holy place. You see that right there? That is an altar of incense. This is sort of like a glorified potpourri stand. It is, you take fire or coals, hot burning coals, and you put it there, and you put those spices and those incense on there, and when you put that, it's like putting oil on those burning coals. It sends up incense. I don't know how many of you come from the Roman Catholic background, but if you've ever been to a Roman Catholic wedding, funeral, service, whatever, you'll see, even on television, you'll see and you'll watch this. They have this thing on a chain. It looks like a birdhouse. And out of this birdhouse is coming all of this smoke out of this birdhouse. And is that all right, Mark? Settle down, son. It's all right. Well, it looks like a birdhouse to me. I mean, it's got smoke coming out the windows of this thing. And so what they do on this chain, they swing it. And when they swing it, all that incense goes all over you, and you know, they're supposed to be doing something for you. Well, they actually get that from the Bible in that sense, but here is what, it's an Old Testament practice. And what they would do, they would go in there and they would offer incense, and what it would do, that incense would go up before God, and it would be like your prayers. Your prayers, if you want your prayers to be answered, then they must be a sweet-smelling savor under God's nostrils. And so what they would do, these high priests, they would go in there and offer that prayer up to God. Well, the same thing here in heaven. Before you get to the most holy place, where the cherubims are, the four cherubims around the throne, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And of course, then the other tabernacle is the way you were made. You were made just like this. You were made like just the earthly tabernacle, the heavenly tabernacle, and then there's your tabernacle, body, soul, and spirit. You are a walking tabernacle. That's why in the Old Testament we don't have this anymore. We don't have an earthly tabernacle. You don't have a high priest that you go to and pray to. I am my own tabernacle. I get ready to pray. I bow my head. I go into this place, where the Holy Spirit is, and I communicate with God. That's where I communicate with God. The soul, that's where I communicate with people. And the body, that's the outer part where you see. That's what you see. That's the part that goes in the ground, out there. The soul and the spirit is the part that leaves the body and goes to heaven or hell, whatever you have made your choice of. So you are a walking tabernacle. But here in Revelation chapter number 8, there are people offering up prayers. These people are the people in the tribulation period. I'll show you. Look at chapter number 6. Look at chapter number 6. And you say, why are you going back to chapter number 6? Because these things are going on at the same time. Look at chapter number 6 and look at verse number 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, you say in chapter number 8, you'll see there's an altar. There's an altar of incense, and they're offering up prayers. You know what these tribulational saints are offering up prayers? They're saying, Lord, how long are you going to let the Antichrist get away with killing God's people? And then all of a sudden, God takes all of those prayers and he sends the seven angels and all of the prayers. It appears like God answers all of their prayers and the whole wrath of Almighty God is dispensed upon this earth through the trumpets. And he starts sounding off these trumpets. These seven trumpets are introduced here. Old Testament, when trumpets are sounded, they were blown to get you prepared for the Day of Atonement. Well, let me see. All right. There's your seven seals. We already read those. Your seven trumpets, they turn around, start about middle ways. And they start with trumpet number one, go all the way to trumpet number seven. But this is what's interesting. The trumpets, when they're sounded, they are getting you ready for the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement in the Old Testament is where they went into the one time a year and made sacrifices and all of that. Well, guess what? The second coming is the Day of Atonement. And they're sounding the trumpets, getting you ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so they're sounding that trumpet. They sounded the trumpet when they marched around the walls of Jericho. And on the seventh day, they marched around seven times, and the walls came tumbling down. Very similar to what the seven trumpets are going to picture. You blow those seven trumpets, and the Antichrist, the walls come tumbling down, you understand? And so that's what you'll see. Notice verse number 7. Verse number 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third of the part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. You see all of that? Fire. Prayers of the saints. And it was almost like God has answered their prayer, and God says, okay, you want me to avenge your blood? You want me to avenge? You're a martyr during the tribulation period. And so God says, all right. And so he blows the first trumpet, and the first trumpet, hail and fire, comes out of the sky upon the earth, and the water is turned into blood. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like, y'all remember the seventh plague that Moses distributed out on Pharaoh? Hail and fire falling down from heaven. That was a plague. You know who one of the two witnesses are and the tribulation? One of those guys is Moses that is delivering these plagues. You'll see some of the same plagues. You say, fire, hail and fire mingle with blood. You say, how is that possible? Did y'all realize, ladies and gentlemen, fire and hail coming out of the sky? Did you realize for the first time, we now can experience that kind of thing coming out of the sky by atomic and nuclear weapons? For the first time, we now can experience what we just read in the book of the Revelation. You say, how in the world can that happen? Don't you realize Iran, Iraq, all them crazy people over there have got nuclear capabilities? And they're going to fire upon the nation of Israel? And they say, oh, they don't have that. You just hide and watch. Yes, they got it. And if you don't believe they do, and if you got your head stuck in the sand, you just hide and watch. I'm not planning on being here. I'm getting out of here way before chapter 8. I'm leaving out of here about chapter 4, hallelujah. And they can have chapter 8. And while they're bombing the whole place with nuclear activity, I'm going to be watching it from my television in the mansion. Saying, boy, they should have got saved. Some believe these judgments are localized in the nation of Israel in the city of the ten kings. Probably, I don't know. But this first trumpet corresponds with the seventh plague, the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt. the hail, and the fire, and all of that. Look at verse number 8. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became... What's that sound like? The water of the sea turning into blood? That's already been done. Moses did that. That corresponds with the first miracle, the plague of turning the water into blood. This mountain, this is what the Bible says, a great mountain burning with fire coming out of the sky. I mean, what could that possibly be? Maybe a great meteor or whatever's coming out of there. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm telling you, a great mountain burning with fire coming out of the sky, it lands in the Mediterranean Sea, and everything turns to blood. This is going to go on in the middle of the tribulation period, and you better not be here for it. Satellites armed with nuclear and germ warfare falling from the space. You say, preacher, you're silly. You're crazy. You're just making this up. That's conspiracy. No, friend, that's the Bible. It's coming to a city near you. You better get ready. And if you don't think they've got that capability, you're watching too much Lifetime for Women. And not reading enough Bible. You're watching too much soap operas. Hallelujah. Does that happen to anybody? Rockets carrying deadly toxins. Look at this in verse number 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning, as it were a lamp. And it fell to the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. You imagine living in the tribulation period and there is no water to drink and you get so thirsty you have to drink water that's been poisoned from a star that falls out of heaven burning and turns that water into poisonous water. And you get so thirsty you drink that water and men are dying. Like flies. You say, preacher, what's going on? The judgment of God upon this world. You say, hey, how many have ever thought of this? You say, boy, I don't understand how much longer we can do this. I don't understand how much longer so-and-so can take God's name in vain. I don't know how much longer we can stand all of this stuff. Why is God allowing those people to get away with seem like the world's going to hell in a handbasket and God's just fine with it? Oh, no, friend, you just hide and watch. God's going to get back. And it's all going to come at once. And it's almost like we are those folks that are crying out to God, God, how long are you going to allow this to go on? How long do we have to stand this? Why are you doing this? God says, all right, hang on. It's coming. You just wait. I will avenge my people. And God's going to bring that judgment upon this earth. You think about this. Think about this for a minute. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, that's just another picture. Let me tell you about this. Think about this. This is in correlation with Moses, Pharaoh. Pharaoh, picture this. Pharaoh's a type of the Antichrist. Moses, a picture and a type of our deliverer. He goes before Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, I ain't doing it. That's in the Hebrew. Moses says, all right, we'll turn the water into blood. They go back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, let my people go. No. All right. Hail and fire come out of the sky. Pharaoh, let my people go. And then all of a sudden, locusts comes down. And flies. What else was it? Frogs. And every time one of these plagues, Pharaoh, let my people go. They wouldn't let them go. Until finally it took the death of the firstborn. And when the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh, lost his firstborn son, he says, get them out of here. You can go and get out of here and everyone will see you again. And as soon as he let them go, he goes and attacks. Changes his mind, middle stream, and he goes and attacks The water parts, the children of Israel walk across on dry ground. Pharaoh's army tries to do it. Water closes up on them. With me? All right, tribulation, nation of Israel. The deliverer, Moses, Elijah, the two witnesses, go before the Antichrist, say, let our people go. No. Fire come down from heaven. Turn the water into wormwood. You understand? Turn to blood. Fire. Hail. Fire coming down from heaven. A third of the trees are gone. A third of the grass is gone. The Antichrist says, let my people go. Says, no. And finally, at the end of the tribulation, the Antichrist says, let them go. And they go, and when they get to them, Jesus Christ comes, and he parts the sky.
Amen.
Heaven rolls back as a scroll.
Right.
And the Antichrist comes after the nation of Israel. It's called the Battle of Armageddon.
Yeah.
And when God gets done with all of the Antichrist warheads, and the 10 kings of the east, and all of that, blood will be up to the horse's bridle for 200 miles in the Valley of Megiddo. They got rid of Pharaoh and his army by water, and this one right here is going to be by blood.
Amen.
Some through the water, some through the blood.
Right
here at the the second coming. Comes down right there. And this is what we're talking about. The first trumpet, the second trumpet, and the third trumpet. Now look at verse number 12. Well, let me talk about this wormwood. Wormwood, all that means is undrinkable. That's what it means. It's just poisonous water. Now, think about this. All right? Let me see if I can help you with this. Have you ever... Just last couple Sundays nights ago, we talked about chapter number 7, and we saw the 144,000 Jews sealed with the name of God in their forehead, right? And then you've got Moses and Elijah, which is the ones that are going to proclaim Jesus is coming, second coming. They have apostolic signs. Watch. They have the same sign. Hey, let's see it. Let's do a review. Jews require a... Okay. Here are the signs to the nation of Israel. Mark 16:16. Has that ever bothered you? Where it says, they shall drink deadly poison and it shall not hurt them? Has that ever bothered you? Guess what? Jews require what? That ain't talking to you. I love all our Pentecostal friends, but you need to know how to rightly divide and get your Bible right. Every one of them verses ain't talking to you. Every piece of mail that comes in your mailbox ain't for you. Everybody lives in your house. You divide the mail out. Okay, that's yours. Okay, there's a JCPenney bill. Well, you know who that goes to. And you just start dividing the mail up. Kayla gets love letter, all that kind of stuff, you know. Well, I mean, it's coming to my mailbox.
Amen.
I might sneak a peek and open and read it. Okay, the Bible's the same way. It comes to the same mailbox, but guess what? When you start reading, you're going to have to decipher whose mail it is. Mark 16:16 has nothing to do with you whatsoever. It has to do, those apostolic signs that were going on in the book of Acts are going to come back in the tribulation period, and Mark 16:16 is going to come alive because you've got 144,000 sealed Jewish evangelists, Moses and Elijah, and they can drink this water, and it will not hurt them. That's going on in the tribulation period. Now look at verse number 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon, and third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone, not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Now, if you're not saved in this building right now and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, if you think what we've read so far is bad, it gets a whole lot worse. Because what we have read thus far verses 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All of those are judgment of God, first trumpet, second trumpet, third trumpet, fourth trumpet. And that is destruction of the earth, the trees, the water, the grass, a third part of the whatever. There's three more trumpets left. And you've got an angel that comes out and says, "Woe, woe, woe." Why? Why three woes? Because the next three trumpets is not destruction of the earth anymore. It's the destruction of the inhabitants of the earth. He's not messing with the trees in the next three trumpets. He's messing with people. You better get ready. If you're not saved and you plan on going through the tribulation, I'm just telling you what you're fixing to have to go through. So, let me give you the easy way out. Get saved, trust Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and you can go to heaven. And you can bypass all of this. You can go to heaven in chapter 4, and you won't even know what chapter number 8's going on. Amen. It'll be going on under your feet, and you'll be up in heaven rejoicing at the marriage supper of the Lamb, eating fried chicken, hallelujah, sweet tea, and a chocolate pie with 2 inches of calf slobber, 2 inches deep on that thing. And you won't even know chapter number 8's even going on. And this is what he says, these trumpets, these atomic bombs coming out of the sky, and all of these different kinds of things. These last three trumpets are directly are going to affect the inhabitants of the earth. No longer the trees, no longer the grass. He's coming after you. Watch this, chapter number 9, look. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him, notice the star is a him. It's a person. This is probably an angel because chapter number 1 tells us the stars are in relation to the angels. A star fell from heaven on the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Notice, these are not regular locusts and scorpions like you're thinking. Oh, no. These are demonic, supernatural. You say, preacher, listen, the book of Revelation is not hard to understand. It's hard to believe. Have you noticed, now watch, have you noticed this? That if this right here, which there's probably a movie out there that has portrayed all of this. The ground, the angel comes down, having the key of the bottomless pit. He opens the bottomless pit, this star. He was given power to open the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit opens up, and all of a sudden locusts and scorpions start coming out of the ground. An invasion of the underworld. Now, if a preacher told you that just like I did, some of you are looking at me like you don't believe it. But if you saw it at the movies, oh, I wonder if that's possible. But if somebody tells you it's going to happen out of the Bible, oh, that's silly. Have you ever noticed they're making movies now of aliens, ground opening up, and stuff coming out of the ground and attacking people? What was that movie? It's an old movie. About the bees, a swarm of bees. I mean, these bees come and attack people and kill them and all that. Anyway, I mean, they make movies about that stuff, and we sit there and watch it. Oh, man, this is cool. And I wonder if it's ever going to happen. I'm telling you, they get all that stuff out of the Bible. And the reason it is because when you hear a preacher preach it, that ain't nothing. I saw that on television last night. Oh, that ain't nothing. Man, that ain't nothing. I saw that. Can you imagine that? We're now talking about the bottomless pit. Where is the bottomless pit? It's in the center of the earth. You say, preacher, it's the bottomless pit. How can the center of the earth be the bottomless pit? The earth is rotating, right? Okay, let's get everybody together. The earth is rotating, right? This means yes, this means no. The earth is rotating. Well, a person that goes to hell, the bottomless pit in the center, he starts falling. By the time he gets to the bottom, the earth is rotating, he's back up at the top again. It's a bottomless pit. And out of that bottomless pit, you say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying everybody in hell is always feel like they're always falling. Because by the time you get to the bottom, that earth is already tilted, and you'll never find the bottom of that thing.
Amen.
Why is it getting so quiet in here? So out of the bottomless pit comes all of these things that are in the center of the earth, and they're going to attack the earth. Now, look at verse number 4. "And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those," what? "Which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." They can't touch the 144,000. They have the seal of God in their foreheads. "And to them was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. Notice, verse 5, they're tormented how many? 5 months. Five. Number of death in the Bible. Say, "I don't believe that." Well, Genesis 5:5 will tell you that Adam died. Deuteronomy 34:5. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Old Testament. 34, verse 5, Moses dies. The book of Acts. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. Chapter 5, verse 5, Ananias dies. If you were here Wednesday night, we heard about Ananias dying in verse 5. You go down to verse 10, 2 times 5, his wife dies. You say, "That's a coincidence." No, it's the Bible, numerology. In verse 5, they're tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. "In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." You imagine that? You imagine for 5 months, all of this stuff that comes out of the center of the earth. You say, "Preacher, you're trying to scare me." Yeah, I am. Yes, I sure am. How's it doing? See, people are desensitized to that because you've already been watching that on television and you're not bothered by it no more. Hallelujah. How are we doing right there? So all of this stuff comes up for 5 months and these scorpions are stinging and all of these things are attacking men, and men are wanting to die, begging to die, falling upon swords and trying to kill themselves. And they seek death, and death will not let them die.
Right.
Say, "Preacher, who are we talking about?" We're talking about people that will not get saved.
Right.
You said, "I can't believe God would do anybody that way. I can't believe anybody would walk out of these doors right here and say no to Jesus Christ."
Right.
I get tired of hearing people say, "Well, I can't believe God would never do." Hey, God sent His only begotten Son, and He sent His best to die for you. Won't you trust Him? You won't have to deal with all of this stuff. Now let me describe. Hey, we got a few minutes. Look at this. Look at verse number 7. "And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions." Now, I've been on some blind dates and wish I was blind when I got there. I ain't never seen nothing like this. Can you imagine a locust in the shape of a horse, as big as a horse, got a face of a man, hair like a woman, and teeth like a lion? And they're coming out of the bottomless pit. You say, "Preacher, that ain't..." Okay. Either that's true or that Bible's lying. And we need to throw it away, and we should have called off church tonight and went golfing. Or fishing, whatever you want to do. If that Bible's a lie, what are we sitting here doing here tonight? Wasting a bunch of time. If that right there is a lie. And that's what it says. Look at verse 9. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Think about this. Think about had on breastplates of iron. Think about an airplane flying through the sky. Has a breastplate of iron on its belly. The sound of his wings is the sound of what? Chariots running to battle. Isn't that odd? Notice what's coming out of the back end of this whatever. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Out of the back end, missiles. Atomic weapons. Say, preacher, you said, it's coming. It's coming to a city near you. Get ready. Fox News don't know about it yet. CNN don't know about it yet. I'm just telling you, that's what's coming. And verse number 11, and they had a king over them. You say, a king over them? A king. Yeah, they had a ruler. It told them where to go, where to strike. Could be a president. Hair like a woman, teeth like a lion. A king, a president over... Anyway, never mind. I was thinking out loud. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. That means destroyer. Verse 12, one woe is past. And behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Amen. Now, you notice there, and we was reading in the end of verse number 8, or chapter 8, and he says three woes. This angel says, woe, woe, woe. We just heard the first woe. Amen. Is in connection with the fifth trumpet. And there's two more woes a-coming. Amen. Don't you whoop her. I'll come back there. And these two woes are more hereafter. Say, preacher, what in the world's going on? It's called the Great Tribulation Period. That's right. And it's coming to this world. And I'm going to stop right there for time's sake. But what's going on, let me show you, if I can explain this before we go. That top line is chapter number 6, where we read, seal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Well, when 7 opens, that opens up the trumpets. And the trumpets will take you back to about the fourth seal. And trumpet 1 starts about where the fourth seal is, and it starts and it carries you on through. And when the seventh trumpet, we'll read about here in just a little bit, in a few Sunday nights, we'll read about the seventh trumpet. And when the seventh trumpet opens, it'll open up, and the bowl, now that what it's called, the bowl, it's the vials. Some people call them bowls, some of them vials. It's just the way you want to look at it. And whatever a vial or a bowl is holding in it, some ingredients that is going to be poured out upon the earth, and it'll be similar. So the bowls will come back and start about the fifth trumpet. So you see, all of this, that's one of the ring circuses. Here's the other one. Here's another one. And there's one more after this. There's a four ring circus going on at the same time, and they don't come back and start at the same place. In other words, this trumpet one don't start the same time seal one does. Or the vials don't start at the same time the trumpet or the seals. They're going on at the different times. You say, how is that even possible? Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do the same thing. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew starts at the birth. Mark comes back, starts at the baptism. Luke comes back and goes back where Matthew does and starts at the birth. John starts, in the beginning was the Word, goes plumb back over to creation. So they don't start at the same time. Neither is these things going on. They don't start at the same time, but they're going back and explaining what's going on in this four-ringed circus. Here's the main thing before we leave tonight. You need to bypass that if all possible. And it is possible if you'll trust in Jesus Christ. And what you'll do, you'll leave out. We're standing about right here. You see where that little green light is? We're standing about right there. And we're listening for heaven to open, and the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And what you'll do, a saved person, if you're in this room right now, let me help you. If you're a saved person in this room right now, you will go up right here. You will go all the way here, judgment seat of Christ probably, marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll get on a white horse, and you'll come back with Him to rule and reign with Him as the bride of Christ, the church, and the kingdom. If you're not saved, you will miss the rapture. The rapture will happen, and you'll still be sitting here. And you'll go through the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven vials, the four horsemen, all of that. And I don't know how you're going to make it. I don't know how you'll make it. That's why you flee to the rocks and you try to hide in caves. That's why people are storing up food. They're trying to make it for 7 years. Because if you don't take the mark of the beast, you can't go to Walmart and you can't go to Sam's, because you can't go to Sam's without getting in with a card. But now it'll transfer over and it'll be put in your right hand. And you go in, they're going to have a scanner at the door, and the lady ain't going to ask for you to look at your card. She's going to, let me scan your hand. Or it'll be in your forehead. Come on in. You get ready to check out, no card. You throw your hand over the scanner, no cash. You don't need a wallet, no need a billfold. You'll never lose a credit card. Your identity will never be stolen again, because it's all in your right hand. You scan it, take it out of your account. No money exchanges hands. A perfect cashless society in the tribulation. But if you don't have that mark, I don't know how you're going to make it. And if you take that mark, listen to me real good. If you take the mark, you are going to hell. Amen. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You're going to hell. So if you take the mark, this is my best advice for you. As soon as the rapture takes place and you miss the rapture. As soon as you see everybody missing, if you ain't planning on getting saved, you need to run down to the Social Security office and tell them you need to mark it in your hand, and you need to live it up for 7 years. Do whatever you want to do. Have the best time of your life for 7 years, because after that, you're going to hell. So you better have all the fun in the world you want to have for 7 years. How's that? Somebody told me, they said, you need to preach this on Sunday mornings. And then we'd have this crowd on Sunday morning. We could take the building plans off the wall. Here's the main thing. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? You leaving out of here on the first train out of here? I am. You say, preacher, is it because you're good? No. You can ask a bunch of people about that. It ain't nothing I've ever done. But it's all what He's done. And I'm trusting in Him. Mark, slip to the piano. Just play something real quick.